What is relationship? And we said that for every one of us, God has made us relational. God has made us relational as human beings. When we're growing up, we want to, you know, play with our friends. We have, you know, friends as we grow up. We have family members and all that. So God has made us relational. So that's one thing that, you know, I mentioned last week. Now, the other thing that we just want to focus on, which we started last week, is the forms of premarital relationships. And we looked at three types. We looked at the normal friendship, you know, just like your normal everyday friend. We also looked at the boyfriend and girlfriend and dating relationship, which is quite popular from a pop culture perspective. And we looked at the third one, which we refer to as Christian courtship. Now, we now went on and we focused mostly on the boyfriend, girlfriend and dating relationship versus Christian courtship. And what did we say there? What I mentioned there was that, look, when we're looking at relationships, we want to really examine, you know, why people get into relationships, what the real purpose is. And I think the distinction we made last week was the fact that between the boyfriend and girlfriend relationship and dating and the Christian courtship, the main difference that we identified was the purpose of these relationships. And we established that in the major difference between, like, the, well, I'll say non-biblical boyfriend, girlfriend relationship and dating, the difference between that and Christian courtship is the purpose. Now, with Christian courtship, we describe that the main purpose of it is getting into a relationship because you have marriage in mind. So the purpose of that is seeing if this is the person that you should really get married to. So that is the purpose of Christian courtship. But we now identify that if it's not Christian courtship and it's just like the casual boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, in that instance, we identify that the purpose is not marriage. Do you understand? The purpose is not marriage, if the truth be told. So again, it's just really bringing this to the forefront so that we understand why these things are the way they are. And I think I mentioned, I mean, can you imagine if, like, a 16-year-old comes to me and says, oh, he's in love and he's met some girl, or vice versa. So the question that I would ask is, okay, so what's the purpose of this relationship that you want to get into? Are you planning to marry them at 15 or 16? They might go, oh, I'm in love, so on and so forth. Okay, you're in love, but, you know, this love that you're talking about, let's even look at what love really means in this instance. We also identify that there is a difference between infatuation and love at that level. But again, the purpose is what really distinguishes between these two forms of relationship. So that we are really aware of that. So that's what we spoke about last week, comparing Christian courtship, which is the biblical premarital relationship that God views as correct, and what I'll call the non-biblical relationship before one gets married. Now, so that's what I looked at last week. This week, we want to look at a number of things to end this section of premarital relationships. Now, what I want to do is, I want to go into, like, the real facts about non-biblical relationships. And again, one thing I always say is that if, for example, someone tells me, don't do this, I'll want to know why. I mean, for example, when I ask our kids, you know, can you do this, please? And, you know, the question I get a lot of times from them is why? You know, why? And I remember that when I was much younger, you didn't ask your parents those kind of questions. You got like you got a knock. They're like, why are you asking me this? But things have changed now. And I think, in a way, that change is slightly good, because if you understand the reason behind the thing, it's more likely that you will, you know, you behave in a way that is more acceptable, or in a way that will help you. So I want to look at the reasons why non-biblical dating, in my opinion, is quite dangerous. It's quite dangerous. So today I'm going to look at a number of things, and I'll look at just about five things. And this is what I've called this the true perspective about the unbiblical boyfriend and girlfriend relationship. The true perspective. So we want to look at a number of things that happen when one gets involved in that kind of relationship. We want to look at the real purpose and the underlining factor of this kind of relationships. So the first thing that we want to look at is the fact that when one dates in the context of just boyfriend and girlfriend, there's deception involved in it. Now, what do I mean by there's deception involved? And am I saying that anyone who, you know, goes on a date is being deceived? No, I'm not saying that. But what I'm just saying is that in the majority of the cases, there's deception involved. And what do I mean by there's deception involved? Now, in this kind of relationship, which is just boyfriend and girlfriend, the two parties, or maybe one party, knows that, you know what, I'm not getting married to this person. The only reason I am, you know, having this relationship with this person is because I want to, you know, have some sort of like, I want to have some sort of like relations with them. They're not, I'm not interested in marrying them. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to take them out on a date, and I'm going to pretend to be really nice. I'm going to pretend to be what I'm not, so that I can have some sort of like physical relationship with them. And that's where it ends. So what happens? Guy, you see a guy that comes to a girl, maybe he's 16, he's 17, or even older, and he knows at the back of his mind that he's not planning to marry this girl. Maybe they both know. And what happens? They, you know, the guy dresses up, you know, puts on his best cologne if he uses it. Girl dresses up and all that, looking nice and all that. And they go to a restaurant, or they go and watch a movie and all that. And what they're doing is, the guy is trying to be as nice as possible, even though he's not that nice. Maybe the girl is about to sit down on the chair in the restaurant. He goes around, he pulls the chair for her. Oh, can you please sit down? You know. And he's really been nice, you know. But the reality is that this guy is not like that. He's not like that. He's just pretending so that the person who he's having, who he's dating, will fall under his trap, so to speak, and he can have some sort of like physical relationship with her, and that's where it ends. But the thing is this, there's so many consequences to this that when one is going through the motions of this, that it's not really apparent. Now, let's look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. So I'm saying that the first thing we need to realize is that in boyfriend-girlfriend relationships and dating, oftentimes there's deception involved because someone is not really telling the other person the truth. And in some cases, both of them might actually not be telling each other the truth. And it says here now, talking about deception. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, we may, do you want to go to the next one? We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So we see this scenario here where the devil comes to the woman. The woman is very unsuspecting. Very, you know, she's just going about her business. And maybe, I think like I mentioned last week, Satan came to her and, you know, tried to start the conversation with her. She probably said, you know, leave me alone. I'm busy. I'm not interested in having a conversation with you. And, you know, there was a lot of time. Satan went away and came back. And, you know, you see a girl as well and a guy, and the guy comes and he says, oh, can I have your phone number? She says, no. Can I buy you a drink? She says, no. Well, he goes and he comes back and he's now starts saying, oh, your dress really looks nice. Where did you do your hair? Your hair is really nice. Did you do that at Cabot Circus? And begins to compliment. begins to compliment her. Then finally, she begins to listen to him. Now, the thing is this, he knows what he wants to do. In this instance, the girl might not, or in some instances, she might. And he begins the conversation with her and says, you know what? This dating stuff that Pastor Bensinger has been talking about, don't you think it's too extreme? Come on. Are you saying that, you know, you shouldn't date someone even if you're not planning to get married to them? Come on, you need to relax. That Pastor Benson, all these things that he's saying is too much. And she says, well, that's what my pastor said, and that's what I believe the Bible said as well. And he says, okay, you know what? Did God really say you shouldn't date, even if you're not planning to get married? Do you understand what I mean? So we begin to see here that in this relationship, someone is telling someone a lie. Someone is playing on somebody's emotions. Do you understand? So the first thing we see here is that in this kind of relationship, from a Christian perspective, someone is deceiving someone and they're not really telling them what the end goal is. And you see what happens to the woman after is she eats the fruit. But the thing that Satan failed to tell her was the consequence of what she was about to do. He said, you know what, the consequence is that you'll be like God. The consequence is that you'll be enlightened. The consequence is that you'll become popular. The consequence is that, you know what, you'll be more acceptable. You won't seem like a, what do you call that word? A dud. You know, you'll be in town. You'll be, you know, that's the consequence. And you know the worst thing about it is that the media also popularizes this. I think I was mentioning last week that if you rewind back to the early 70s, well, stroke 80s, there were a lot of films that began to come out about, you know, teenage dating, particularly from America. And the media so romanticized this thing where they would show a guy and a girl in a convertible, and this guy is like 16 or 17, trying to make it seem like, you know what, the consequence of all this is, you'll be cool. Do you understand? But that's not the real consequence. So the first thing I said here is that one of the true perspectives about this boyfriend-girlfriend dating relationship thing is that there is deception involved and the consequence is not really apparent. Now, what's the aim of this relationship a lot of the times? Again, often when one is dating, doing boyfriend-girlfriend and dating, and it's not Christian courtship, and it has marriage is not the end goal. The end game a lot of the time is physical relationship, which the Bible describes as fornication. That is having this kind of physical relationship with someone that you're not married to. And that's where the deadly thing goes in. So when we say physical relationship, or when we say having this kind of relationship, it can be physical and it can be virtual. It can be physical and it can be virtual. So it is possible that someone has a virtual relationship with someone that they have not met before. Do you understand? It is possible. So someone might say, you know what, at least I don't have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. I'm not, you know, I'm just, you know, but really that person has a virtual boyfriend or girlfriend. And you know what? In this instance, the Bible classifies both of them under the same banner. Do you understand what I mean? How do I know that? Matthew chapter 5 verse 28. So we're saying the second point is that when one is involved in this kind of relationship, it leads to a physical relationship described as fornication, which is having this kind of relationship with someone you're not married to. So it says, Jesus says, I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So Jesus ropes everything in. And he says that even if the relationship is not physical, you can have a virtual relationship with someone. And what is that? That is, well, you know that, not you. You know what, I'm not going to get involved physically, but I can do so over the internet. And, you know, such a person, you know, begins to text the other person, they're texting, and they now begin to, you know, imagine all sorts of things. It still falls under this kind of thing as well. And, you know, now with the age of the internet, you know, there's so many, you know, one can get involved in so many things. But the Bible says whether it's physical, whether it's virtual, it still falls under the same category as well. And it has the same consequences. So we said one of the main aims of this kind of relationship is just to have like a physical relationship if marriage is not the end game of it. Now, what are the consequences of this kind of relationship when one begins to get involved physically? We'll look at one or two things. You know, the first thing is this. When someone has this kind of relationship, it does a number of things to the person that they might not be aware of. And I'll give us some examples. The first is this. It opens that person up to Satan's affliction, Christian or not. It opens that person up to Satan's affliction. Now, let me just dig out the scripture that I put here, if I can find it. Okay, let's look at Judges chapter 16, verse 19. No, sorry. Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 8. That's my American congregant there. She's saying, praise the Lord. So the first thing is that we see that when one gets involved in this kind of relationship, virtual or physical, it opens that person up to Satan's afflictions. There's a scripture here in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 8. It says, whoever digs a pit may fall into it. Whoever breaks through a wall may be bitten by a snake. Now, the King James Version says that whoever breaks the hedge gets bitten. Now, I just want to make something clear. As a Christian, as someone that is born again, Satan cannot get you. Do you understand? Whether you pray or not, Satan cannot get you. How do I know that? At our Bible study, we're looking at the book of Numbers 23:23, that as a Christian, you are protected by God. Whether you pray or not, God looks after you. Do you understand? But there's something that a Christian can do, right? And that is that if that person gets involved in this kind of relationship and they get involved in fornication, it will open a door in that Christian's life. And when that door is opened, the devil will exploit that door. Do you understand? The person will be really, really influenced by Satan. And they're a Christian. Why? Because they've just opened the door to their life, to the devil to do that. I remember in our church in London, this was years ago, they were having like a youth convention in the southeast of London. So in the it was a week-long thing. I think a week during the holidays. So the youth then, young, with some of the pastors, 14, 15, 16 till teenage, they would go onto the streets, they would distribute flyers to, you know, other youth in the neighborhood, invite them into church in the afternoon for, you know, I think they're doing all sorts of things. So there was this particular day that they invited these people, these other young people into the church in the southeast of London, and they began to pray. Then as they began to pray, a number of really interesting things began to happen in England, in London. This is not west coast of Africa or something. Some of the people that they brought in were demon possessed. They were not Christians. They were demon possessed. And as they began to just, you know, pray in a meeting like this, demons started speaking through them. Some of them started, you know, doing all sorts of funny things. They prayed, and you know, they prayed over a number of them, and a lot of them got delivered. And one of the girls there, I think she must have been about 15. They were talking to her, and she said, you know, she was involved with this guy in a gang, and the guy said something to her that at that point it didn't really click, but now clicked. The guy said that I think one of the things that the guy did for her or to her was he had this kind of relationship with her, and they had a physical relationship. And the guy told her that now I have infested you with demons. But she was like, you know, what's this guy saying? What does that mean? It's like, but that day at the church, demons started to speak through her. She started, I mean, it was a sight. So what happened was that this girl got demons from this guy. So what that means is this. As a Christian, anyone that involves in virtual or physical relationship outside of marriage, that person has just said, you know what, Satan, I'm a good target for you. Because it gives Satan access to that person's life. You know, there's a part in, let me just try and, you know, remember, there's a part in Corinthians, I'll remember the scripture in a bit, where Paul was telling the Corinthians that, do you not know that whosoever you join your body with, you are one with that person? And he now went on to say, if you join your body to the body of a prostitute, you become one with that prostitute. Now, what that means is that when someone has that kind of relationship with another person, they have a direct access to your soul. Direct access to your soul. Do you understand? So if, for example, Satan is looking for a Christian and he's tried all the things he's trying to, you know, and he can't get them because obviously God protects them, what he will do is he will arrange for this kind of relationship for them. Because he knows that once they get involved in it, he can basically just mess them up. So that's one of the consequences of this relationship. So we begin to see that there's a spiritual dimension as well to having this kind of relationship that one is not really aware. And that person will just realize that, hang on, I'm just having all these terrible feelings. I'm feeling in a particular way, constant. You know, they'll just begin to have these unexplained things happening to them physically. And maybe even some types of nightmares as well. Why? Because they've opened themselves up, but they might not be aware. So there's a spiritual aspect to this thing as well. Now, the other thing as well that this thing does as well is that it destroys the soul of a person. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32. It says, a man who commits adultery lacks judgment. Whosoever does so destroys himself. The King James Version says he destroys his soul. Now, these are very strong languages. Sorry, very strong words, destroys. It didn't say it damages his soul. It doesn't say that it makes him uncomfortable. It says it destroys his soul. So what happens as well is that anyone that gets involved in this kind of relationship after outside of marriage, that person's soul is open. Now, what's your soul? Your soul, which consists of your emotions, your thinking, which is your mind, so on and so forth. It really hammers the souls of people. It does. In fact, the Bible doesn't even say it hammers the souls of people. It says it destroys the soul of a man or a woman. And it says anyone who does it lacks judgment. The King James Version says the person lacks understanding. Do you understand? I mean, there's so many things I can say, but I'm not going to say them today because of the time and obviously because we have some young people in the house. But I can tell you the things that I have seen this thing do in the lives of people. And they're not, a lot, some of them are not even aware that that's the cause of it. It damages the lives of people. So why am I saying this? I'm just saying this in such a strong manner because of the consequence of it. So God is saying that if you're not ready to get married to someone, or you are not planning to marry someone, you shouldn't get involved in this kind of relationship at all, because the consequences are grave. Do you understand? Because the consequences are grave. Now, the last thing I'm just going to mention because of the time is this. So we've looked at, you know, the fact that this kind of relationship usually leads to a physical relationship or otherwise. And we've said that it has grave consequences. One of the consequences is that it opens a person to the influence of Satan. But the other thing that this thing does as well is that it really scars people's hearts. It really scars people's hearts. And what you will now find out is that you will see someone who maybe they've been involved in a number of relationships and they've experienced a lot of hurt in those relationships because it wasn't leading to marriage. And people now get something called brokenheartedness. I don't know if you guys have seen all this American songs from the 60s, where half of the songs were singing of, you know, how some girl left them, how they're brokenhearted, how they, so on and so forth. This thing leads to brokenheartedness. It rips the soul of people apart. And it leaves a scar. Do you understand? And the thing is that the scars that these relationships leave in the hearts of people, it follows them into the next relationship as well. Into the next relationship. So it's gathering scars, emotional scars along the way. Do you understand? So many things I can say about this, but I'm just going to stop in this instance here for now. But what am I going to say just to end? So if someone is involved in this kind of relationship, boyfriend, girlfriend, and we know what God thinks about it, we know what some of the consequences are, what should that person do? What should that person do as a Christian? So this is a Christian view. What should that person do? Well, very simple. If someone is involved in that kind of relationship as a Christian, you should just end it. The Bible says you repent. Delete the number of that girl or that boy. I'm just saying. That has been calling and all that. You end it. It's as simple as that. Now, some girls will say, and some boys will say, you know what? That's a bit extreme. You know, come on, Pastor Benson. I can just, you know, keep this number. Well, the thing is this. If you continue to, okay, so say, for example, you make a decision. Say, okay, I'm not going to have that kind of relationship with the person anymore. You know, I want to, you know, start on a clean slate. You break the relationship off, so to speak, but you still continue having conversations with that person. You know what will happen? Whether you're a Christian or not, if you hang around someone who likes you and that you like long enough, you would develop affections for that person. It has nothing to do whether you're a Christian or not. It's something that is a fact. So say, for example, there's a girl, she's a Christian, and there's a guy who is not a Christian. She's 16 or 17 or whatever. She's not getting ready to get married. This guy doesn't want to marry her, you know. But he's now like, oh, how are you doing? So on and so forth. He's being nice. You know, I don't want to say this in a very harsh way, but it's like the devil coming to Eve. So what will happen is this. The girl might say, you know what? I'm not going to have anything to do with this guy. As a Christian girl, I'm supposed to be nice. What will happen is this. The guy begins to, you know, talk to the girl. He's been really nice. And maybe that girl even really likes that guy. Because there are certain people that we like. Do you understand? So, I mean, I like my wife. When I saw my wife, I was like, oh my goodness. Oh. So, but the thing is this. There are other people that look like my wife. Do you understand? If I give them attention, I might develop affections for them as well because they have my wife's characteristics. Do you understand? The same way, there are people that you will like, and if you keep on giving them your attention, you will develop affections for them. And what will happen is that the affections that you develop, whether you're a Christian or not, it will override your your ability to judge correctly. So what do? Don't even have the conversation at all. You understand? So if you're involved, the Bible says, you know what, just end the relationship. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. It says, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So it's as simple as that. Then what am I going to say as well? I'm going to say as well that if, for example, someone has been involved in this kind of relationship and they're experiencing, you know, hurt in their hearts, they're like, oh, you know, this thing has hurt me so much, or I've been hurt about, you know, the Bible says in Psalm 147 verse 3, it says something about God there. It says he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So what I'm saying here is that for anyone that's involved in this kind of relationship and they're out of it, but they're still feeling the residue of hurt. They're still feeling the residue of the effects of it. They can just ask that God will heal them and that God will, you know, make their hearts whole again. Amen. We're just going to stop there today. And I'll just ask that we just rise up and just, we'll just pray for a minute.